May 4th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are studying from Psalm 57. To the chief musician set to do not destroy. A miktam of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 24 to go over the background of this psalm. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistine, that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. As I mentioned many times before, what happened to David and Saul is a foreshadow of what might happen to faithful Christians in the coming days. We also looked up the word the Great Tribulation in Hebrew language, and this story of David and Saul came up. So I do believe that this is what will happen to us, persecution by the power. The persecution started after David was anointed by Samuel. He was the youngest boy in the family and was only attending sheep, but only after he received the anointing to become the next king, the persecution started. But David did not become king immediately. He had to go through many more challenges. And also Saul was known to be taller than the others. And I think he could be a model or symbol of angel of darkness who would persecute us. That the many tribulations are caused, of course, by human beings, but much of the tribulations are also brought upon by angels of darkness. And as for the length of the tribulation, I think it would last for 3.5 years, since that was the length of Jesus' ministry. Jesus' biggest enemy was not people like scribes and Pharisees, but it was Satan. It was Satan who entered into Judas, and it was Satan who stirred up people to come against Jesus. So in many ways, I think some of the Psalm of David would give us warning about the coming tribulations, and in his conflict with King Saul, the king himself came out with 3,000 soldiers to capture David. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge, until these calamities have passed by. The most important thing is to pray to God as David prayed to God to be merciful. According to the Bible, I think that martyrdom only comes to those who desire it, like it happened to apostles, except Judah. They willingly gave up their bodies. And I don't think it was God's decision to take away their lives. They lay down their lives. And I don't think God is demanding everyone to give up their lives. But also the one who survived till the end is not necessarily the most honorable things either. As Paul said in Thessalonians, that they are not greater than those who have died. So martyrdom is good, but pleading for life to be spared, like David did, is also good, I believe. And there's a story of a widow and an unjust judge, and because of widow's persistent pleading, judge grants her wish. So I do believe that our prayer is heard, and we can hide under his wings until the calamity is over. This is what God promises us. This God covering us with his wings is also mentioned in many places. Let's look at Revelation 12:13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is not nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. female is a symbol of a church. So I think this is a metaphor of a persecution of a church. And here she is given two wings to go to the wilderness. In the Bible, it also says that those who are in the city needs to go outside the city. And I believe that city being destroyed is a metaphor of destruction of churches. So remaining in the city is not what God wants us to do when that happens, since the city is taken over by the Antichrist. And I think wilderness does not necessarily mean in the wild place. I think anywhere outside of church can be considered wilderness. So we can gather anywhere like McDonald's. And in those days, there will be underground churches that we will need to escape to during 3.5 years of tribulation. And this great eagle is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, I think. So when that happens, those who listen to the voice of people, like your pastors or elders or pope, instead of the Holy Spirit, will be led to destruction. But I think eagle or dove is the Holy Spirit, and those who listen to the Holy Spirit will be spared from such destruction. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." So those who follow the Holy Spirit will be given the necessary information and instruction, even in time of severe persecution, like where to go and what to do. And I learned to listen to the Holy Spirit when I was in my 20s. I was going to this church, and I loved the pastor there very much. I respected him and admired him in every way. But God told me to listen to God, not to people. And he showed that to me using various circumstances. So in the end, I decided to leave the church. But from that experience, I learned to follow the Holy Spirit, which eventually led me to do what I do now. So if you have already learned to rest and hide under the wings of God, when the persecution comes, you will not be surprised. Just continue to do what you do under His shadow. And if you have not, then it is important to learn that now. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth His mercy and His truth. You know what happened to David, and his life was miraculously spared when Saul entered the cave. The verse 4. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men, who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues a sharp sword. His sword can also mean the word of God. In the great tribulation era, one of the weapons the enemy will use is the word of God. It could be about the wrong doctrines and the interpretation, but this is one of the battleground we would have to be prepared for. Jesus experienced the same thing. Scribes and Pharisees tried to catch him saying the wrong thing. Same thing happened to the apostle. Peter and John and other all walked with Jesus and saw how Jesus fought, and they did exactly that. They were never defeated by the opponent because they knew Jesus and they knew the word. So what we are doing now is preparing for the days to come. Verse 5 and 6. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. The same thing happened to Jesus. Let's look at Matthew 22:15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled, and left him, and went their way. As people tried to trap Jesus, they would experience similar traps in the time to come. We will experience similar traps in the time to come. But those who dig a hole to trap faithful believers will fall into the hole they have dug, just like the Pharisees. Jesus said, blind guy leading a blind will both fall into a ditch. So those who set a trap is the ones who are ignorant and don't know the word of God. Verse 7, My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. This steadfastness is not of the world. In the end time, everyone will be shaken up, like the earthquake written in the Revelation. But those who know the word and can hold on to the word can be steadfast and unshakable like David. So I don't recommend people to go to a church where message just makes you feel happy and gives you a groundless hope without teaching you the truth. Feeling good is not going to edify you nor prepare you, but you will be risking your eternal life. God's way is very simple. He allows the whole world to be shaken up, and he is hoping that people would still trust him and hold on to his word, like the trials Jesus went through. There were thousands of people who listened to Jesus in his days. It wasn't only the 12, but when the persecution came, everyone left, and people started calling him a cult. But the disciple who built the house on the rock remained. So whatever we are doing now, please consider it as a training for the days to come. For example, recently, Tohoku region started building much delayed breakwater to prepare for tsunami. When the ocean is calm, you don't understand why the wall has to be so high, but that is to prepare for tsunami, which does not come every day. But when the day comes, having the wall makes a big difference. Verse 8 to 11. Awake, my glory, awake, lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches up to the heavens, and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. So God does not change, even in time of tribulation. He's always the same. The problem is on human side, on the side of the church. The church will start expelling Christ or the Holy Spirit, and the church will be the one who leaves God. But God is always unchangeable, and he remains the same.